You know, you need to do more than pray. You need to act and pray. You need to go out and put job applications. You need to do everything you can in the natural and let God do what you can't do.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick. So excited to be with you today here in the studio with Pastor Mark Job, author and senior pastor of New Life Community Church here in Chicago. Pastor Mark, this message, it comes at just the right time for so many of us. You've titled it, Don't Waste Your Crisis. This is the second half. We're in Daniel chapter 2, where Daniel gets a knock on the door and is told that he's going to be executed for something that has nothing to do with him. And instead of panicking, he realizes God's bigger than this. There's something God may be up to. And he's able to use this crisis, really, for the glory of God and for the benefit of those around him. And as we're reading this story in the second half of the message, what is it that we really need to get our minds around and our hearts around to be like Daniel?
Well, I think the first thing, Joshua, is just the understanding that God is the Lord of crisis. In other words, God has not been caught off guard by the crisis that you're in. God knew about the test results coming up. Yeah. God understood that your job would be changing. God knew that that fire would happen. God understood that your son or daughter would be struggling. Whatever your crisis may be, it has not caught God off guard. And I believe that crisis opens the doors of greatest mistakes and greatest opportunities. Some of you that are in a crisis right now are facing some of your greatest opportunities to help change your destiny, influence people's lives, and glorify God than you've ever had. So I want you to think about that first of all.
That is so helpful, Pastor Mark. Thank you for that. This is Don't Waste Your Crisis, Part 2, Daniel Chapter 2. And I want to go there right now. Let's go.
That young man that you've been concerned about, yeah, because he's been drinking too much. And he says, I don't have a problem. All my friends do it. It's not a big issue. But finally, you get a call. Is this your son? Yeah, we've arrested him. He's locked up. He has a DUI. He's looking at community hours and possible suspension of his license. And he thinks it's the worst thing that could ever happen because he's got to take public transportation. And this is terrible that happened and it's going to go on his record. But in reality, the judge says, no, you have to go to a 12-step program. You have to deal with your issues. And for the first time in his life, he's actually admitting that he has a problem. Why? It's a crisis that's led him to the best gift of his life, which is acknowledging that he has a problem and dealing with the root of the problem. Are you with me? Sometimes our crisis is the best thing that could ever happen to us, even though at the moment it feels like the worst. And the Bible says that Daniel, who the king didn't even know, who was a nobody, a 19-year-old apprentice nobody, suddenly has a surge of faith in the middle of this crisis, and he tells the officer, give me an appointment with the king because I believe I can interpret his dream. He takes action. The confidence that's there. Why? Because he knows that God is with him. Verse 16, and Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time and that he may show the interpretation. Number two, not only do we need to stay calm, remember that God is bigger than your current problem, but number two, pray hard. Remember, there are some doors that only the hand of God can open up. It tells us in verse 17, then Daniel went to his house and he made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. And he told them to seek the mercy from God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions may not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So Daniel goes home, and he basically says, guys, we need to pray. Not only do we need to pray, we need to fall on our faces and cry out to God. We need to pray like we've never prayed before. We need to come before the God of heaven and ask for mercy that he would intervene on our behalf. You know, sometimes we let the wrong people know about our crisis. We tell the gossipers. And all that happens there is everybody knows about our crisis. By the time it leaves your lips, 15 minutes later, there's a whole network of people that know about your crisis. Or we let the self-pity fuelers. We tell someone and they say, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, you shouldn't go through that. Oh, let's go have a couple Bud Lights. This is terrible." And we can cry together over how unjust and terrible life is. And they just make you feel self-pity for yourself. You don't deserve that. This is terrible. You're a good person. How could this happen to you? Life is unjust. Life is unfair. And you're like, "Yeah, you're right." Or sometimes you tell the protesters, and they just want to protest God and the system and your boss and your wife and divorce them and leave them and quit that. And they're the protesters. They believe that everything's unfair and life is unfair and this shouldn't be that way. And they're just raging against the system. But who you really need to tell is the prayer warriors. You need to talk to people that can pray. You need to get a couple people around you that actually believe in the power of God and that won't just say, "I'll pray," but you know they'll get on their face, on their knees before the throne of God. They'll cry, they'll weep, they'll intercede, they'll fast, they'll call out to God. They will shake heaven until they see a touch, until they see heaven touch earth in some dramatic way. Some of you need to find some people that know how to pray. And you need to enlist those people around you. And those are the first people that you need to tell your crisis to. You need to get some people that know how to pray. You see, what happens if I see that Daniel took action and he prayed. He prayed and he took action. I believe that Christians that are walking well, they don't just take action. If all you do is take action, but you don't pray, you're an activist. Thinking that you have the power to solve everything. Now, on the other hand, if all you do is pray, but you don't take action, you're a spiritualizer. I believe that action and prayer go hand in hand. I run into some people that, well, they spiritualize things. And they never are willing to take action. There's a time to pray and there's a time to act. And they both go hand in hand. If you've prayed enough, then you need to step out in faith. Like the guy that I talk to and say, "You know, Pastor, I'm praying for a job." "That's great. How long have you been unemployed?" "About 3 years." "So what are you doing?" "I'm praying." "How's your application?" "No, I'm not putting applications. I'm just trusting Jesus. I'm just praying." "So what do you do with your time?" "I just pray. I watch TV. I pray. I have a good time. I don't worry about it. I just pray." "Oh, yeah? So how do you expect to get a job?" "I'm just praying that someone will knock on my door, give me the right job with the right salary. I'm just trusting Jesus." "No, you're not. You're being lazy. You know, you need to do more than pray. You need to act and pray. You need to go out and put job applications. You need to do everything you can in the natural and let God do what you can't do." Daniel took action, but he prayed. He knew that action alone wasn't it. He knew that prayer alone wasn't it. That it had to be action combined with prayer. I believe when you combine those two, you make a splash and an influence that other people will notice. I think back to 2005. We had just moved into this building, this big 84,000 square foot building. We had started to develop some of it. We got the auditorium done. The gym wasn't done. The middle section wasn't done. There are parts of this building that looked like an undeveloped factory. But we had been praying that this place would be a blessing to our community and that God would use it to be able to spill over and splash blessing on people around us. We had a fellow that came in from the outside, a pastor. And as he was praying with some of our pastors, he said he felt like God gave him a word, a picture, an image, that we would be like a storehouse, a warehouse, And this storehouse would actually be able to dispense goods to many other people out of this storehouse, out of this warehouse, that other people would be blessed by what's coming out of our storehouse. I thought, okay, that's an interesting image. Didn't really exactly know what it meant, didn't exactly know what would happen. And at the time we had moved into this building, we had some opposition from the community around us. Some people were wondering, why does a church want to buy a factory? What kind of church is that anyways that buys a factory? And why do they need such a big factory? And why don't they have statues and stuff? And who are they? And there was some opposition from the community. Well, in 2005, in August 2005, there was a horrendous tragedy that happened in New Orleans because a hurricane called Katrina struck the New Orleans coast. You remember that, Katrina? It was one of the worst disasters that this country, natural disasters that this country has known. The storm surge caused 23 breaches in the flood walls around Katrina, and it's the worst engineering disaster in the history of the United States of America. 2 days after the hurricane, 80% of New Orleans was underwater. Some of it was 15 feet underwater. Almost 1,500 people died in this tragic incident. Well, it just so happened that we were getting into this building, and a fellow from a city called Ocean City escaped the flood of New Orleans, got in a pickup truck with a chainsaw and his dog, and he drove all the way from New Orleans up to Chicago because he had family in Chicago. And when he got to Chicago, he got on the radio, I think it was WBBM, and he got on the radio and said, hey, it's atrocious down there. The city that I'm from doesn't have food, doesn't have water. People are out on the streets. I mean, we need to do something for them. They need toilet paper. They need generators. They're in desperate need. And he got on the radio and pleaded. Well, a person from this congregation heard him on the radio and said, well, we've been praying, now we need to act. And so we reached out to him, and he came to the church, and we said, what can we do? And he said, well, we need to get supplies down there, clean water. They don't have anything to drink. And so we determined that we would try to fill up one truck, and drive it all the way down to New Orleans. And so we called the congregation. We said, hey, bring toiletries and water. If you have generators, bring them. And so we started to try to fill a truck. It seemed almost impossible to fill a semi. It was a lot of work. And our gym became the storehouse where we started to put stuff in. Well, suddenly people from the community heard about it.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled, Don't Waste Your Crisis. It's from our series called Allegiance, Kingdom Living in a Foreign Land. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark and our message called, Don't Waste Your Crisis.
The very community that had opposed us now heard that we were doing something in New Orleans, and cars started showing up in our driveway. So many cars started showing up in our driveway that there were lines getting into this parking lot. People had their trunks full of toilet paper and water. The news got a hold of it and advertised, hey, a church on 51st and Keeler is taking supplies to New Orleans. We filled up a semi, and a truck driver from the church said, I'll drive it down there. But after we filled up that semi, we had so much other stuff left over that we said, well, what are we going to do with all this stuff? Let's fill up another semi. So we filled up another semi. People from the neighborhood that had before opposed us were coming here saying, how can I help out? And the very neighbors that opposed us before were helping us in the storehouse. One guy that owns a bar brought a generator, said, hey, here's a generator I want to bring. By the time it was over, we had filled up 11 trucks and driven them down to New Orleans. The mayor of Ocean City, of this town, called me up. I'm sorry, Ocean Springs. The mayor of Ocean Springs called me up and said, "Pastor, I don't know how you guys have done it, but our entire city is grateful to New Life Community Church." In fact, she said, "You guys got here before the federal government got here, before the Red Cross got here. You got here before any agency got here." And she said, "I want you to know that the people of this community are grateful to you. Don't even know how it happened, how you did it, but we're grateful to you. And we have so much supplies here, we're starting to send those supplies to other areas that are more needy than us." Yeah. And here's what I learned that day. You know, there's a powerful combination between prayer and action. And I believe that's what the church should be doing, prayer and action. And I'm kind of running out of time, but let me go on a one. Can I go on a little tangent here? Okay. So occasionally I have people that come to me, and just this past week I had someone come to me and said, "Pastor, would you know, we need to protest some stuff that's going on in the city. Can you come and protest?" And wanted me to go to a protest. And I said, "I think there's a time for protest. But I don't want us to shake our fist at government and city and police and people, because sometimes they're as stuck as we are as to what to do. How about the church bring some solutions to the table? How about the church roll up our sleeves and start fixing the problem and then tell the city, 'Hey, we are already fixing the problem. Just come and help us while we're fixing the problem.'" Like Urban Life Skills, we started a program to mentor at-risk youth, 13 to 18-year-olds that are gang affiliated, and we've been doing that for years now. And now the city is up in arms about the violence that's happening in Chicago and saying, "Well, part of the solution is we need to mentor 8th graders and 13 and 14 before this violence gets out of control." And we're like, "Hello, we're doing that already." And so Matt DiMatteo, one of our pastors at New Life, in the last 2 weeks has had two meetings with the mayor's office, who's saying, "We need to try to do something." We're like, "Hello, we're doing it already." I believe the church needs to provide solutions, prayer and action, to change a community by the power of the living Jesus. That was a freebie. Number three, we need to take action. So not only do we need to pray, but as I said before, we need to take action. Remember, one person filled with God's Spirit can do what others in the natural can never do. Verse 24, it says, "Therefore, Daniel, after they had prayed, called out to God, gotten on their face." Church, we need to know how to pray. Some of you don't even know how to pray. Oh yeah, you know how to pray grace over your meal. "Lord, and bless these elements that we're about to take. May they serve for our strengthening of our bodies. Amen." But that's about all you know how to do. Someone says, "Can you pray for this crisis?" You say, "Yes. Lord, thank you for these elements that we're about to take. May it strengthen our body." No, no, no. We're talking about a crisis, not about a meal. Some of you need to know what it means to get on your face before God, to press into the throne of God, to get a hold of the throne of God and not let go of it until you know that God has answered that prayer. Some of us need to learn how to fast and pray and seek God and intercede and know what it means to tarry before the Lord and wait until we know that God answers our prayer. Fervent in prayer. And when you're calling upon God, listen, when we know what it means to call upon God, then what happens is when you're calling someone, you listen for an answer. When I'm upstairs and I say, "Hey, honey, what time are we having dinner?" And I hear, I say, I can't hear you. So I open the door, I turn the music down, I cup my ear. I said, "What did you say, hon?" "Oh, go pick up dinner myself." "All right, got it." No, just I'm listening for an answer because I'm asking a question. When you know how to pray, you cup your ear to the heavens. You look for the signs. You're waiting an answer because you're asking. Some of us need to know how to listen. And when Daniel was listening for an answer, God spoke to him in a dream. And God showed him the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had had. Now, I don't believe that God normally speaks through dreams, but I believe God can speak through dreams. I don't believe that every dream you have is a God dream. Some of you just have a weird dream because you had too much Giordano's pizza the night before and just, you know, you have psychedelic, weird flying dreams, falling off buildings or whatever. Not every dream you have has a spiritual meaning to it. Don't come to me and say, Pastor, I was falling off a building. I'm wondering, maybe. But I do believe that God can speak through dreams at times. God will use whatever means he has to get our attention. He spoke to Daniel through a dream, and he showed Daniel in a dream the vision or the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had had. And he gave him the interpretation of the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had had as well. And then Daniel took action and went before the king and said, I have an answer to your dilemma. I know what your dream means. You see, he took a bold action. You see, some of us need to take a bold action in our crisis. Some of us won't be bold until we're driven to be bold. Some of you, God has been asking you to do something for a long time and you don't do it because you don't have enough courage to do it, enough incentive to do it, enough motivation to do it. You know what to do. The problem isn't that you don't know what to do. The problem is that you don't have the boldness or incentive to do it. I've told you this before, but my grandfather smoked. And he always would apologize in front of us who were teenagers about smoking. He said, boys, don't do this. Terrible for you. Bad. I wish I could quit, but I can't. And he was a man that read his Bible, loved Jesus, but he smoked. Didn't like it. One day he went to the doctor, and the doctor said, Mr. Job, I see a spot on your lung. If you don't stop smoking, you could be dead soon. Something incredible happened. My grandfather stopped immediately smoking. Immediately. Never touched a cigarette the rest of his life. Unfortunately, it was too late. He had lung cancer, and he died of lung cancer. But what it showed me is that my grandfather could have stopped any time if he had an incentive strong enough, a motivation deep enough to make him make that decision. Some of you here, and you think, I want to do it. I just don't have the willpower. I don't have the incentive. I don't have the motivation. What are you going to wait for, a crisis? Is it going to take a crisis? Because sometimes God will let us go through a crisis before we have the boldness to take a bold step in the middle of our crisis. Daniel, in the middle of his crisis, was unknown by the king, but he got a boldness to step up and say, hey, king, I have an answer. Number four, seize the opportunity. So stay calm, pray hard, take action, and lastly, seize the opportunity. Remember, every crisis provides an opportunity to point to God and to lift others. So Daniel goes before the king. And I love what Daniel does because the king says to Daniel, oh, I've heard that you can interpret my dreams. I've heard that you have the power to tell me what my dream was. And notice what Daniel says. Daniel responds to the king in verse 24, and it says, in verse 27, Daniel answered the king and said, no wise man, enchanter, magician, astrologer can show the king the mystery that the king has asked. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. I love that. The king says, oh, Daniel, I heard you can do it. No, not me. But there is a God in heaven that has no limit to his power. I can't do it, but God can. You know, when people come to me and say, Pastor, can you do this? I love to be able to say, you know what? I'm just a vessel. I can't, but I know someone that can. He's got all power. He's not limited. He can heal. He can do miracles. He can turn situations around. I'm nothing. I'm just a vessel. But God, man, I got some connections in high places. And so do you if you know our God.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Job and the second half of his message called Don't Waste Your Crisis, which is from his series entitled Allegiance, Kingdom Living in a Foreign Land. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you with your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message or the entire series, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. We'd love to invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 24 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago and the surrounding areas. You can check out all of our locations and the times that we meet at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you, and please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that this broadcast has been a blessing to you, and we ask that you join us again on the next Straight Talk. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate your listenership. On behalf of Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself, have a great night, and God bless.